Hey guys, welcome to the Bill Barnwell Show. I'm Bill Barnwell. Today, The Athletic's Jordan Rodriguez joins us for the first time to talk about the Rams. What is going on with Matthew Stafford's elbow? Why is it so complicated? Jordan doesn't make it simple, but she gives us a very smart answer to that. And the rest of the stuff happening with the Rams this upcoming season, plus what's going on with the Vikings and Kevin O'Connell, former Rams offensive coordinator, now the head coach there. We get into all that, but first, want to tell you about another podcast, because ESPN, in partnership with Peyton Manning's Omaha Productions, presents Not Just Football with Cam Hayward. Each week, fans get a peek behind the curtain of NFL life. Pittsburgh Steelers defensive tackle and five-time Pro Bowler, frankly, should be more than five times if you ask me, Cam Hayward gives his unfiltered thoughts on the league and headlines across all sports. That's Not Just Football with Cam Hayward. Listen wherever you get your podcasts. Now here's Jordan talking about the Rams and Matthew Stafford's bulky elbow. All right, joining me now here on the Bill Barnwell Show, someone I have been meaning to have on for a while. And then last week, she attempted to do something that is impossible on the internet. And I respect it so much that I felt like this was the perfect time to have her on the show. She tried to pull off the most difficult thing a writer can do, which is to say, quote unquote, a few things can be simultaneously true. That is a level of nuance that is not possible on the internet. Jordan Rodriguez of The Athletic, and you know that.
Yeah, you know, I felt like I was taking a risk there. I started with it behind the paywall, and then I was just feeling just, you know, real dangerous.
Real so bold.
So I screenshot it and then put it out there, and then chaos hits, apparently. So, because as we know, even though multiple things are true about this situation that we're going to get into, also, hi, thank you for having me. It's like, well, what if I only read one sentence and then panic?
Welcome to the NFL on the internet. That is how that works. Yes. We have a lot to talk about when it comes to the Los Angeles Rams, the defending, by the way, Super Bowl champions, which you do a great job covering for The Athletic. And of course, the first thing I think we have to talk about is your ongoing coverage of the Matthew Stafford situation, in which a few things are simultaneously true. So let's just start with the broader overview. Obviously, there's been reports that Matthew Stafford is struggling with some kind of mysterious injury. What insight can you offer in terms of what the injury actually is and how much is actually happening with Matthew Stafford at the moment in terms of his ability to throw through that injury?
Well, Bill, a few things are simultaneously true.
So it's okay here.
Yeah. I clenched up saying it. Okay. So it depends on who you ask, right? Mm-hmm. So if you ask Matthew Stafford, it's an ongoing, more irritating issue than he is feeling any pain. Mm-hmm. It is something that he's been dealing with for a while. If you ask Sean McVay, it is something that Matthew has been dealing with since at least last year. They obviously can't speak to what he was or was not dealing with when he was in Detroit. Mm-hmm. Something that they managed through the year and came up with a full off-season management plan through mm-hmm. the spring and the summer. And just sort of poking around on this with sources and behind the scenes, it's at times described as just really agitating tendonitis. Mm-hmm. But I will say with that, when I asked Sean McVay directly, you know, if it is tendonitis or if this thing has an actual name to it, mm-hmm. He declined to say that it was tendonitis and also declined to put an actual name to it. And he also made headlines the other day when he said that it was something that was more abnormal for a quarterback to be dealing with, more similar to something a Major League Baseball pitcher goes mm-hmm. through, and also said it's not something he's ever dealt with as a head coach. I mean, his quarterbacks have been pretty healthy, so yeah. I guess that's not such a inflammatory statement. Mm-hmm. But then Matthew Stafford sort of almost was trying to make it clear that he understands the team is concerned. He is the starting quarterback of the Super Bowl winning Los Angeles Rams. And we're talking about the elbow on his throwing arm and an mm-hmm. ongoing issue that they had treatment on non-surgically this spring, that they have a clear management plan that they've stuck to through the spring and the summer as a mm-hmm. whole collective process. he understands all of that, but also sort of maybe opposite what Sean McVay had said 2 days previously, Matthew's quite clearly not worried about it. And so I think where we're, what we're looking at is a combination of all of these things, which I know people hate to hear, but it's really what we're looking at here.
Why can't it be simple? Why can't it just be either his arm is totally non-functional or his arm is totally fine?
Oh, and the other variable too is he looks great when he's throwing. And I'm objectively, I joke to people, I'm on the ground every single day. And one of my big duties this spring, which was easy this spring because he didn't throw in OTAs, but this summer in camp is watching and tracking every single throw. So my job is weird, first of all, but second of all, I have seen him every single time he has thrown the football this spring or this summer. I have watched it and it looks fantastic. And so that's another thing to have in this whole package of truths that we, that we're concocting here this morning.
The dossier of various Matthew Stafford illnesses. I think it's so interesting because, like you said, there's this disconnect of clearly something is up, but every report I've seen from campus that he looks totally fine when he's actually throwing. So I guess what I wonder is, you mentioned that there was a plan to deal with this during the offseason. Do you get a sense that the Rams sort of expected, okay, this will be dealt with during the offseason and he'll be totally fine heading into training camp? And maybe they're a little surprised that there is some irritation or some tendonitis perhaps, and that it wasn't resolved by their offseason plan, whatever that was?
You know, I actually don't think that they're surprised that he's had an on-load deload situation. Like that, that all of his rep counts, all of the days where he is throwing versus he's where he's not throwing, all of it was already planned out, even as far back as the spring when they did try a couple of non-surgical procedures and treatments. And one of them I reported in March, which was an anti-inflammatory shot in his elbow, and he was in a sling. And so it was like, okay, so something is going to be different about this plan that he's on this year. This was, I think, again, to add more context to the situation.
So much context.
This was also, this is the context episode. to add more, like this was by far, and I don't mean this as a slight to Detroit, but this was by far the longest season he had played.
Right.
And my theory, actually, my personal theory is that, you know, maybe you're looking at more permanent fixes if you're not only getting, you know, 5 months to actually recover.
Right.
So I think that this was the expectation of, you know, this is something that's going to be managed. And I also do want to say, you know, frankly, I do believe him when he says he's more irritated by the fact, or he indicates, excuse me, I'm projecting here. when he indicates that he's more irritated by the fact that he can't throw because of the plan versus worried about the issue itself. I mean, I do believe him when he says that. At the same time, I do think it's fair for the team to want to make sure they can control every variable they possibly can until they can't control any variables anymore when the season begins. So I think that's what you're looking at here is not really panic in any way, because it was all expected, but also something where, you know, the nature of the offseason and its shortness relative to not only the league year as a whole now, but also to the Rams past season, the expectation of where they're going to be through this season, I think that that sort of set the table for them to know that they would be managing this in a little bit of a different way than they did the first year he was there.
That makes sense. This is an impossible question to ask.
Does it make sense? I think so.
I like once I had all the context, it made sense. But before then I was, something is missing here. I need an answer. You have these sort of different forces at hand, right? You know, you have Stafford who feels one way and wants to do one thing. You have the team that feels one way and wants to do one thing. You have the elbow, which seems to be maybe feel differently on different days. I think there is this sort of uncertainty, I guess. And I guess that's why I need to ask you this. Like in terms of the injury itself, and you are not a doctor, to my knowledge, and you have not looked at Matthew Stafford's elbow x-rays, to my knowledge, which if you have, very impressive. And if you're a doctor, very impressive. I think you chose the wrong career if you have a medical degree. But do you think that this injury Or do you think that the Rams believe this injury is likely to get worse as the season goes along? Or perhaps did it get worse last year when Stafford's numbers did decline during the second half of the year?
Well, we do know that he went through it last year. And so I think you can probably, I don't like to make assumptions. It's just not the nature of my job, but I think you can probably say it was at times a little bit more clear when he was dealing with some pain. Now, he never went on the injury report all through last year. And he also never missed a practice snap as far as I know. And so that's, you know, again, more context where it's like, okay, how much of this now is them understanding that this thing maybe could be unpredictable. And Sean McVay actually was more blunt than I thought he would be about when, you know, when I asked directly about, hey, do you think this is something that you will be able to predict through the season? Or can you say whether this will evolve or devolve? And he said, you know, I'm paraphrasing again. He said basically that they didn't know, but that's part of the reason why that he's on the plan that he's on is because this is what they felt. And I will say, like, I've seen the sports science and medical staff do some insane things. Cam Akers last year being one of them. And so this is the plan that they've sort of forged ahead on into this new territory. And they don't have a body of data to match it up with other than what Matthew experienced last year. And this, as I said, it's a very different off-season plan than what he did experience last year. And I think the hope is, you know, it's not just rest. Like, I would assume he's going through, you know, various treatments and he's working a lot of strength training and he's over with the lead sports scientist, Zach Witherspoon, and with the team, you know, head athletic trainer and VP of pretty much earth, Reggie Scott, you know, he's with them a lot. So I have to assume and imagine that they are tracking every data point they can through this entire thing in a variety of insane ways that we don't even know exist on the planet at this point, because that's just how they operate. And so I think, like, that's part of it too, is trying to map out a set of data points, understanding where this thing's at all times, and particularly when they can control the environment and control the variables of camp.
Makes sense.
This episode is brought to you by Honda. When you test drive the all-electric Prologue SUV, there's a lot that can impress you about it. There's the generous passenger space, the clean, thoughtful design, and the intuitive technology. But out of everything, what you'll really love most is that it's a Honda. Visit Honda.com/EV to see offers.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having four kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first three-month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited. See mintmobile.com for details.
So, and this is a hypothetical question. Please, please do not take what Jordan is saying as Matthew Stafford is going to miss time or Matthew Stafford is not going to play week one, because that is not what this question is asking. But hypothetically, if Matthew Stafford did miss time, would the plan then be for John Wolford to start a quarterback, or for a team that we know has a habit of going out into the world and landing superstars who are maybe a little bit past their prime? They coax players out of retirement. Like what would the plan be if Matthew Stafford missed time?
Yeah. And I think it is a fair question. You know, at the moment, I don't have the expectation or sense from the people I see every day that it would require, you know, a vast stretch of time if they did have to spell him. Like, I don't get the sense about this injury that it's something where it's like all of a sudden the arm is dead. Like, yes. I don't think it's that at all. And I think when they're looking at John Wolford, they're looking at a guy who, if he needs to get them through two games, he can do that. And they're not trying to chase outliers in the league in this regard, where they've often chased outliers in other ways. And that's kind of where I think they're at right now. And obviously the unpredictable nature of any NFL season, let alone the one that they're facing now, as they hope to repeat, I think, caveat being we don't know what we don't know until we know it. But at the same time, I do know that they really appreciate the way that John Walford runs this offense. I think they appreciate the way he sees the game and the way that he prepares. And the sense is like, okay, if we needed this guy to come in and get us through two games, then we believe that he could do that. Mm-hmm. Now you're not asking him probably to do more than that.
Mm-hmm. Right. So let's move on to maybe more concrete injury situations when it comes to the receiving corps.
Forehead sweating.
I'm sorry. It is very stressful, understandably, but we can talk about actual injuries now before we get to hypothetical reunions. We'll get to other stuff, of course. But Van Jefferson and Jacob Harris, the third wide receiver for the Rams last year, and the converted tight end who missed pretty much all of 2021, right? Jacob mm-hmm. Harris. Mm-hmm. So two players who are going to be figuring in as receivers for this offense, both have suffered injuries. Are they likely to be ready for week one? And if they are hurt, how does this change what the Rams might want to do on offense early in the season?
Yeah, I think both of them would be back for week one. I think part of the problem with Jacob Harris is this is supposed to be a really important year in his development. And he is back working with the receivers for the first time mm-hmm. on an NFL campus. And so I think that's tough, you know, for him. He was supposed to sort of get on this learning curve that he missed out on last year. He had a pretty gnarly ACL mm-hmm. tear. And then Van Jefferson sort of aggravated a knee situation, separate issue than the one he had surgery on this spring, but mm-hmm. had a referred to as a minor procedure. Again, a little bit of an oxymoron, but again, I'm not a doctor and I have not seen x-rays of Matthew Stafford's elbow. So, but it's described to me as like, you know, I am pretty optimistic that Van could be back as early as September 8th. The team might be smart with him, you know, not pressure him back and all of mm-hmm. that, just depending on where he is in his rehab, but pretty optimistic about both of those guys being able to return. Jacob Harris, this is a groin injury. So, you know, they're going to be pretty careful, soft tissue kind of thing. So for me, I think losing Van, especially because Jacob was still a little bit in a developmental phase. Mm-hmm, Van Jefferson is their three. And the three is really, really important on this roster because not just because of the things that Cooper Kupp and Allen Robinson can do and the things that defenses will then conversely do against them, but also because Van is really a complete player. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people see his vertical ability that he sort of unfolded last season as this offense expanded, and they maybe missed some of the other things that he really had worked hard on, which was getting a little bit gnarly and nasty closer mm-hmm. to the stack, which is what they need from their three. And so I think when you're looking at the guys who are around still, who are getting the rep share sort of by committee that Van would have been taking in camp at this point, you're looking at Ben Skoranek mm-hmm. and Tutu Atwell. And Ben Skoranek is somebody who I would qualify as someone who gets gnarly and nasty close to the stack, very much so. And there's this great clip of him like yanking Cam Akers through the bodies of several defensive linemen for two extra yards in the Super Bowl on that run play that Cam had. Mm-hmm. And you just know, like, he's just going to get in there. And Tutu Atwell, not so much. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, Tutu Atwell has had a great camp and his hands have been excellent. Where I'm concerned about either of them is fully together. I have not seen now Ben Skoranek. I did talk with him. Mm-hmm. He's got a bit of an edge to him. I say that in a positive way, because I think you need that at that particular receiving position. Mm-hmm. And he had not had a chance to really show his speed pretty much ever. And he believes he can stretch the field. Tutu Atwell, we know, can stretch the field. Not so sure he can stay on the field in terms of being a more every down player. In the way mm-hmm. this offense works, they don't run a ton of play action anymore. And when they do, you know, it's very intentional when they do run it, and they're at empty a lot, and the receivers mm-hmm. need to come off physically off the line of scrimmage and be explosive. And there's not that sort of wind up that a receiver who gets into second and third gear like Tutu does. There's not that mm-hmm. wind up to get him through traffic as one might normally think would help a player who is on the smaller side. And so mm-hmm. I think that's where I'm concerned, because you see them scheming him open quite a bit. in camp and he's making the catches and he's playing really well, but you're not going to probably be scheming him open in games the way that you are in these types of practices. Mm-hmm. And especially when teams are game planning against you and they want to go tempo. And that's the complication. Mm-hmm. Is you can't sub these guys, a committee of guys in and out, if you want to stay in tempo. It quite literally does not work. So I'm curious to see where they go. I don't think it's going to be something they worry about for long because Van Jefferson will be back, but mm-hmm. It does kind of illustrate maybe 2 years from now or a year and a half to, you know, a year from now, what holes they need to fill in this offense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tutu Atwell, their second round pick a year ago, 5'9", 165, just hard to be gnarly and nasty when you're 5'9", 165 in the NFL, even if you try your hardest. I feel like I'm obligated to ask you this, and you can just say yes and move on if you want to. With Odell Beckham, I mean, it's this weird thing where, like, the Rams are alluding to the possibility of signing him, but they haven't signed him. Like, is a reunion basically inevitable here, or do you think there's more to it than just waiting for Odell to get healthy before he comes back to the team he won a Super Bowl with last season?
You know, I'm glad you asked about this because it does give me an opportunity to repeat the thing that I've said every single day for the last 10 weeks. And you're providing me a really nice platform to do so. And I'm just so eager. In all seriousness, like, this has always been, I've always felt optimistic about this. Mm-hmm. He fits with this group. Genuinely, they want to, and again, we go back to the elbow, but like, they do want to continue to be a high volume passing attack offense. They do want to continue to work, you know, their route concepts in these layers that, you know, sort of interconnect and spring each other loose. And Odell's very good at that. He's a complete receiver. And I think that what they haven't done is they have not really put a concrete timeline on it. And part of mm-hmm. that is because the injury, and part of that is also, you know, they've made their intentions clear in terms of what the structure of, you know, a deal might look like. And everything I'd heard about, you know, months back about their intentions is that they would want to do something multi-year. However, you factor in the injury and the first year is probably not going to look very good in terms mm-hmm. of probably incentive heavy, maybe a little more flexibility on the back end of such a deal. And I think that's because of the injury. It's also because they wouldn't expect him to be back and contributing till November, maybe December. I think if you get him in their building rehabbing with Byron Cunningham, you're probably looking closer to November than December. But that's the thing, is they know he can contribute. They know he knows the offense. They love the guy. He really, really fit in this group. I think he found just this sort of freeness in exhaling a little bit, in being not only so welcomed, but like, I talk about this all the time, people just let people be themselves in this mm-hmm. building. And it's been refreshing to be around because it's a really group of like drastically secure people and strikingly so. And I think that's part of it, is you can have all of these big names exist in the building because everyone's kind of just like themselves and mm-hmm. letting themselves exist the way that they want to exist. And so I think that that's part of it. Now, I also say this every day for the last mm-hmm. 10 weeks, and mm-hmm. no offense obviously meant to you. I'm glad you asked, because it does need to be brought up over and over and over again, apparently. Like, I think it's also super fair that he is considering, you know, what is best for him around mm-hmm. that time. And he has a young family, a growing family, and he is at a point in his career, and with some of the injuries he's dealt with, you know, he has to figure out and do what is best for himself and for them long-term. I think the Rams mm-hmm. think that it is staying with them. And I think they want to reiterate that and make that clear with Sean McVay sort of publicly wooing him the way that he has, especially over the last couple of weeks. But mm-hmm. I also think that there's just not a timeline on this. And on the one hand, that's good because you let the player, you know, figure out what he wants to do. Mm-hmm. The team sort of places a line in the sand and says, here's where we're at. This is where we're staying. And you kind of see what happens, but there's really not a rush on this. And he's got some rehabbing to do as well. So I'm optimistic about it, but we'll see how it shakes out.
Are you optimistic about your chances of not answering this question at any point before Odell Beckham signs somewhere else on any given day that you will not be asked this question?
Well, I like when I'm asked the question, actually, and I appreciate you asking it, because I'll say it like constantly, and all of a sudden I'll like turn my phone on some morning, and it'll be like in the news again. Like mm-hmm. the subject will like be in the news again somehow. And I'm like, well, nothing's different. like this is all the same. So I do appreciate getting asked, because it gives me a chance to sort of, you know, practice the speech and all of that. And to also say concretely, on a platform I enjoy, like nothing has changed.
That's fair. That is totally fine.
Whether you're ordering wings for the game, whipping up a 7-layer dip, or ordering pizza, there's something about football that makes you want to eat. And this football season, Uber Eats has the best deals on game day food. No matter what you're craving, from 2-for-1 pizza to buy one, get one wings, Uber Eats will be dropping new deals each week, all season long. Uber Eats, official on-demand delivery partner of the NFL. Order now. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This episode is brought to you by Amazon Prime. There's nothing sweeter than baking cookies during the holidays. With Prime, I get all my ingredients delivered right to my door, fast and free, no last-minute store trips needed. And of course, I blast my favorite holiday playlist on Amazon Music. It's the ultimate soundtrack for creating unforgettable memories. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever you're into.
Something that has changed, though, is the Rams safety situation. Last year, injuries late in the season, the Rams basically had to throw Nick Scott, who was a special teams player, and Eric Weddle, who was retired and playing pickup basketball, out at safety. And as you saw during that playoff run, it went well. Nick Scott played very well. Eric Weddle went from being not on the roster to being the green dot player in the Super Bowl, which is absolutely insane. So this year, Weddle retired, Nick Scott back. The safeties who were injured last year also back. How does the safety situation shake out for the Rams heading into this season?
Yeah, I think so. What a lot of people don't remember is how bad Jordan Fuller was hurt. Pretty bad ankle injury, had to have surgery and like couldn't walk for a little while. And so he's still getting back to 100%. He's out there. He's not on PUP. He's able to take reps, but in terms of, you know, pitch count being the most popular phrase around here right now, he's certainly on one. And I think that they have an excess of super talented safeties who know the defense extremely well and who are extremely talented and know each other and sort of mesh with each other extremely well. Mm-hmm. So when you have an excess like that, the Rams, they're very efficient with the way that they use their personnel and the way that they use players. Mm-hmm. Raheem Morris has this great saying, when you have A-plus players, you put them in A-plus situations, which is a coach speak phrase that I just love for some reason, like, because it makes so much sense. And yet you don't see it as often as you should across the league. But with this group, I have no doubt that, you know, Jordan Fuller is back in the starting rotation. I have no doubt that Nick Scott is actually starting alongside him. 5 weeks from now, I could be wrong about that. But so far, to me, it seems like Nick Scott has earned a spot in that two high. And I also think you're going to see some interesting things, because when you combine what they're doing at safety with what they already do at corner and some of the versatility they have there, and Jalen's going to continue to move in and out of the star. And they've got a lot of players who are versatile. They've got a lot of more veteran players now who are somewhat unproven, and a couple of really young corners who are extremely promising. Mm-hmm. You combine those things together, and then you combine what they're going to do at inside linebacker now with Bobby Wagner and him being their green dot at this point, and some of the sub package work that they can be in. As a property of my credential for training camp, I'm not allowed to report or write about scheme in technical detail, but I will tell you, they're doing some cool stuff back there. And it's been fun to watch, because you can see, you know, they're keeping this too high and the shell intact, but you can also see, and that's not breaking news, I guess. So if the Rams are listening to this, please don't be mad at me, but they're keeping the shell intact, but you're seeing some creative wrinkles in some of their sub package work. And I think that's going to be really, really interesting to watch manifest as they get into live games.
This is very damning stuff. Jordan Rodriguez thrown out of practice because she revealed that the Rams playing some too high, but also playing maybe some other stuff off of too high. Yeah, absolutely
it's
inappropriate.
It's that type of complex football analysis that you have me on this podcast for.
I have no doubt that that is well beyond the capacity of many of the people who cover the NFL, perhaps myself included most of the time. It is pretty innocuous, but absolutely. I mean, it's a blessing, right, to have three players who you feel pretty confident in when they're all healthy. And there's a lot of things you can do. I mean, we see teams around the NFL, you know, using big safety looks and having three guys on the field and, when you have players like Jalen who can play pretty much anywhere in the backfield. Like Jalen Ramsey could be a great safety if he wanted to. He happens to be an incredible cornerback. Like there's so many different things you can do schematically behind that front that I think are really exciting. And I guess the follow-up, my question I think about here is the one guy who's missing from that Super Bowl team is, or there's several people, but one prominent guy missing on the defensive side of the ball is Von Miller, who signed with the Bills this offseason. And I have to ask you, from the Rams' perspective, how do they think they're going to replace a guy who was such a valuable player against the pass and against the run last season during that playoff stretch?
Yeah, especially that playoff stretch, I think, is when you really saw why they made the move that they did. And, you know, you had to wait for it for a minute because they were losing in November and they weren't really rushing the way that they wanted to rush because they were in these deficits. And and then, you know, you look at what Von Miller and Aaron Donald were able to accomplish in the postseason, really, with Raheem Morris and Eric Henderson, their D-line coach. The things that they designed were really fun to watch and almost like artistic, but also extremely frightening if you're on the other side of it. So you're like, oh, it's like art that will eat you. It's like you're appreciating this. And then you're like, wow, I'm glad I'm not that guy. That's the difference here. Justin Hollins, I have no reason to doubt Justin Hollins opposite Leonard Floyd. He played very well at the beginning part of the year before he suffered the pectoral injury and was out for most of the rest of the season. That was a big reason why they traded for Von Miller. But they also traded for Von Miller because they recognized that their roster was at an A and an elite player in that tier one status that I talk about all the time, where they sort of quantify which type of player they actually can push capital into in terms of the picks for players trades. They felt that he would be that player who could take their roster from an A to an A+, and he did. And this year, while I don't want to rule out anybody who looks as talented as Justin Hollins is capable of being, I also think that my eyes are on all of the quarterbacks that this team faces after the trade deadline. And so this is a group, Les Snead and Kevin Demoff and Sean McVay and Tony Pastores, they're all going to have to get together and decide, is this something where we're going to have to make another big swing? And it's going to be probably one of the most important decisions they make from the first half of the season to the second, because after the trade deadline, they're looking at Tom Brady, Russell Wilson, Derek Carr, Justin Herbert, Patrick Mahomes, and I'm forgetting somebody. I know
Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, that's a big one. Yeah, and it's an insane slate of quarterbacks, specifically all lined up for them after the trade deadline.
Yes,
like let alone factoring in the playoffs, right? And so I think that's going to be one of the most important will they or won't they of the entire year. You know, this Rams group, though, I do know this about them, and I firmly do believe that they will continue to kind of have that aggressive ethos that they had last year, because they know that this is their space that they're in right now. You can see it with all the contracts they lined up in the offseason. You know, this is their space to and their time to be aggressive. And so I have no doubt that they'll be aggressive in the options that they explore in that regard.
I mean, it did win them a Super Bowl last year, so you can't really poke too many holes in the let's be aggressive and trade players, let's trade picks for players. It seems to have worked out fine for them last season. Actually, what was the Kwesi Adofo-Mensah quote about the Rams that was kind of like a little insulting, but maybe not meant that way?
Yeah, I don't think when I read it, great piece written by my pal Jory Epstein, by the way. You know, I didn't read it as an insult because I read it as like, you can't, it's really stressful and difficult to operate in a way in the NFL that drags you, wants to drag you down a parity every year, to operate in a way where you're seeking outliers, but only in specific phases, but you have to also be right in the outliers and also the phases of outliers. So you have to be so correct so many times that, I think that's kind of more what he meant by that. But yeah, it was, it's interesting because I talked a lot with people about this offseason is, you know, you have to jump ship once the inefficiency becomes a market efficiency. And I think this offseason showed you really picks for players starting to become a little bit more efficient than it was in previous years when the Rams kind of capitalized on that market in a dramatic way. And nothing prompts teams to want to explore your methodology, like winning a Super Bowl.
Yes.
There's like the shininess to it that it's like a moth to a giant ball of fire. And I think that's what covering this team feels like also, by the way, in case anyone was interested. But yeah, it's been like, so I know that they will remain agile. They have the same people in place who are all about finding that agility. And I think dealing with all of the scar tissue that they had from the days when they had the best offense on the planet, but somehow were not agile. And so I think that's, they're still very much motivated by that feeling. And that's kind of why walking around this building and these fields, you don't feel like they've have even processed that they won the Super Bowl. So like psychologically a bit concerned about that, but at the same time, you know, it's that compartmentalization that Sean McVay and co have been so good at, especially since 2018.
Yeah. And I mean, I think you can make a case that other similar trades, and we can get to a whole other podcast, the picks for players thing, but like the other trades where teams are trading two first round picks for star players in their prime didn't always work out all that well. The Khalil Mack trade, not really a great deal in the long run for the Bears. The Jamal Adams trade was a disaster for the Seahawks, but the Jalen Ramsey trade, yeah, that one was pretty good as it turns out. And I think, you know, we're going to look back and maybe say not only were the Rams doing something more aggressively than other teams, but they were just better at it than other teams were.
The way they quantify the types of players they're willing
for sure
to go after is the big secret here, really. And not just that, but the way that those players interconnect in a very interdependent ecosystem where it's built for that type of player, not just to be successful, but also to bring up the other players around them. Mm-hmm. And it's a personality trait that also factors into that quantification. That is the big secret.
First, you tell us that the Rams are going to play multiple defenses, and now you're revealing the big secret. You're going to get thrown out of practice twice today, Jordan. They're going to let you back in and then remove you again.
Stan is going to send me in a rocket ship to Mars. If you don't hear from me, I am floating somewhere in space.
Moth approaching the sun. Yes. But so the Vikings. I mentioned Kwesi's comment, which I agree with you. I think it is more of a headline that can be a little damaging when you look at the broader context of the quote. I don't think it's anything offensive. But the other Rams connection here to the Vikings is that Kevin O'Connell, the Rams' former offensive coordinator, is now their head coach. Wes Phillips, Rams' former tight ends coach, and I believe passing game coordinator a year ago, now the OC in Minnesota. So we talked about the Rams, but for the Vikings now, based on your conversations with those guys when they were here, how do you think the Vikings offense changes? What do you think about the possibility that the Vikings become sort of a clone, at least on the field, of what we saw from the Rams over the past few years in Los Angeles?
Well, I don't think they're going to run anything if or much of what the Rams were running last year. I think you've seen now the ultimate pivot or sort of separation by Sean McVay. And in a way, if you look at what Kyle Shanahan's done and then what Mike McDaniel is probably going to do, what Matt LaFleur's done, you can start to see them separating themselves from like the mass root ball that is the Shanahan McVay system. And they're sort of pollinating off elsewhere. And so I think that you're not going to see that from the Vikings, what the Rams were doing last year. You might see some elements of it because some of the fundamentals of this offense will always be there, but probably not much like 2021. Now, what I do think you're going to see the Vikings run, and the Kevin O'Connell, I think, can be very successful at doing with the group that he has, is some of the vintage McVay Shanahan system work. Not 2020 small ball sort of Jared Goff like relationship with McVay imploding version. Not that. What was happening before, right? But because they have some of the personnel that they have, you know, some of the receivers that they have, and I think a couple of probably underrated players, and you know, I think you're going to see a lot of those types of elements. And then Kevin O'Connell will put his own spin on things and modernize things in certain ways too. He was as excited as anybody to get Matthew Stafford in the building and start spreading the offense out quite literally. So I think you're going to explore those types of things. But one of the lessons that Kevin learned over his couple of seasons in Los Angeles was, you know, what you have to build in accordance with the personnel that you have. And that's part of the reason why you saw this Rams offense change so dramatically from what we'd always known the McVay system to be into something entirely different. Conceptually, some of the same concepts and some of the same calls and designs, but overall dramatically different than anything that he had done before. So that was a lot of that was based off of not only the way the league is moving, but also the personnel that he had. And so I think that was a crash course over those last 2 years where Kevin O'Connell was really, really absorbing that. So I think that's where he'll be very talented as a head coach. And I think I do find it interesting too, that Kevin is he's a very good personality. He's very easy to get along with and he brings people together. So I think that was a really interesting tactic. You know, I can't profess to know what was going on in the inner workings of the Vikings previously, but it seems like when you combine someone who's really bright, like Kwesi, and has all of these cutting edge ideas and, you know, this thought process that is different from everybody else in the league, it's also good to match with a personality like Kevin, who also thinks about offenses in a very progressive way. But I think is a connector of sorts who can, you know, sometimes be the face of some of the things that they might try. And Kwesi, you know, and him sitting in that first press conference together, to me, it just worked that those guys understand each other and kind of in the way that Les Snead and his brain works and Sean McVay and his brain works, they found each other at the right time, not because they were necessarily the right match at that time, but because they could translate each other at the right time. And I think that's Kevin, and it seems to me from afar, again, seems like Kevin and Kwesi.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be really fascinating. Certainly one of the more interesting teams heading into 2022. But of course, the Rams are always one of the most interesting teams in the NFL. And Jordan, if people want to check out your coverage of the Rams, which is frustratingly nuanced and thoughtful, where can people do that?
Great for the internet, you know, but yeah, thank you so much for having me. You guys can find me on Twitter at Jordan Rodriguez, JOURDAN. And you can find me on The Athletic, write a lot about the Rams, write a lot about the NFL, and have a much smaller podcast, but one that I love dearly called 11 Personnel. And you can check that out weekly as well. Bill, thank you for having me. We were overdue and I appreciate you, having me on, and I say that in a positive way, like we were overdue in that. I just love our conversation, so I appreciate this.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Jordan. All right, thanks so much to my guest, Jordan Rodriguez. Does excellent work over at The Athletic. Check out all her coverage there. We have more NFL preview stuff happening next week. More audio on the way. Hope you guys are enjoying the training camp session. Let's say the offseason. The offseason's done. It's training camp season now. Hope you guys are enjoying training camp. Hoping your favorite team is staying healthy. Hope you guys are going to enjoy the preseason this upcoming week. A full preseason schedule coming. Probably not going to talk too much preseason analysis. I'm not going to lie. I don't find the preseason to be that interesting, but we will certainly keep previewing the NFL season over the next few weeks as we approach week one here on the Bill Barnwell Show.
Hey, ESPN Plus subscribers. Get even more of the sports and teams you love. You can now stream 6 months of SiriusXM on us for even more live games, sports talk, music, and podcasts, all at your fingertips, wherever you go. Score even more with ESPN Plus and get 6 months of the SiriusXM app today. You just need an active ESPN Plus subscription. Get all the details at ESPNPlus.com/SiriusXM. Eligibility and offer details apply.